His church. We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read, starting at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, we appreciate this wonderful chance that we have to be together again, the house of the Lord, to worship you and to feel your presence. I pray, God, that you would move this morning through the message. Help us, Lord Jesus, through your word, encourage every heart here. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, as my wife was testifying. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the importance of the Sunday assembly. And, I think really that sometimes we get up our own evaluation of things instead of using God's evaluation. But I believe that we should look in the scriptures to see how God evaluates things and go by God's evaluation. We must judge things by God's viewpoint. Why is it important for us to assemble together? Couldn't we just worship God individually in our own homes? The assembly is called together by God. And really, this is what the church is, a called out assembly. Without assembly, of course, except in certain circumstances, without assembly, there is no church. The assembly is called together by God, and it's called together by God for a special purpose, that we're to meet together with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're summoned to meet with the Creator and the Redeemer of the world. Can you imagine a greater invitation than that? That we are to come together for a meeting with the Creator and the Redeemer of all men. Brother, Jesus said, I'll be there when two or three are gathered together in my name. I can't imagine a greater assembly than this assembly right here. In the house of God this morning, we've come to meet together with the Creator of the world and the Redeemer of our souls. There's never been a greater assembly. You know, when we come to the house of God, we come together not just to fellowship with one another. We come to fellowship with the Lord of glory. We are to come to meet with God. Did you understand that when you left home this morning, that you were coming to an assembly to meet with God? Did you understand that Jesus said he was going to be here this morning in this assembly? Did that affect the kind of attitude that you brought to this assembly this morning, that you came here expecting to have a meeting with the Creator of the world and the Redeemer of your soul? I'm telling you, when you come to church with that kind of attitude, it affects how you approach the worship of God. We come together to meet with the Lord. I read in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 17, where God was meeting with the people of God, with Israel, on the top of Mount Sinai. And the Bible says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. God was on the mountain. He brought them out to meet with God. But understand, God brought us here this morning to meet with Him. And this is the most important thing that we do this morning, is we meet with God. We feel after Him. We experience Him. We receive His touch in the house of God. We are here to meet with God. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 3, where Samuel was telling Saul about certain signs that he was going to experience to confirm the fact that he was chosen to be the king of Israel. He said, there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, and they would be carrying sacrifices. They were going up to God. They were not just going to a place of sacrifice. They were going up to God. Brother, when we come into this assembly, we are coming into the presence of Almighty God. Oftentimes we prepare to go to church with no thought about the one that we are summoned to meet. So, you know, in our day, casual is the trend. Get you a cup of coffee, get you a donut, and enjoy yourself while you receive the entertainment. But brother, that's not the reason we go to the house of God to be entertained. We come to the house of God to be participants in the worship of God. We've come to this place to meet with God this very morning. I read an article years ago in the Danville paper. There was a church advertisement in the Danville paper, and it said, we're going to have an early morning service. You can stop by on your way to the lake. We promise you, you'll be out in 20 minutes. Just come as you are. And I don't know how they knew that 20 minutes would be all that was needed, praise God, to meet with God and worship God and experience what God had. And 20 minutes, we promise you, you'll be out in 20 minutes. This is the kind of attitude now that's held toward the house of God. It's just sort of a casual affair. But this is not a casual affair. If you were summoned to meet with the president today, you would understand that this is an important meeting. If you were summoned, you know, you was going to meet with the Queen of England, then you would prepare for that special event that you were going to meet with the Queen of England. But I'm telling you, brother, we come here this morning to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's not just a casual gathering. We've come here with a solemn assembly to give glory and God to God, the God of heaven. Amen. We assemble in the house of the Lord. We're called to meet with Jesus. Jesus set the example himself. The Bible says that he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And I want you to understand that Jesus still goes to church. That where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in the midst. And we assemble not just with each other, we assemble with Jesus in order to worship him. It's the highest and holiest activity of which man is capable, to meet with Jesus and worship him in spirit and in truth. It was Jesus who said to Satan, when Satan tempted him to bow down and worship to the devil, and he said to him, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Do you understand that worship and service are twins? So I worship God by my service, so that everything I do is done in the name of the Lord, done in the name of Jesus. So my service is part of my worship. I worship God by my service. But I also serve God because I worship Him. I worship Him, brother, and I serve Him because I worship Him. So we're to worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. The word worship comes from the old English worth-ship. He's worthy of our worship, praise God. Hallelujah. My whole week converges on this worship service this morning. And I must bring to God more than just mere words of worship. I bring to Him my whole life of this past week and offer it to Him. And anything that hinders or contradicts my worship of God on Sunday morning should be eliminated from my life during the week, so that there is no hindrance to me worshiping God on Sunday morning, because I'm bringing to Him not just my worship and my words on Sunday morning. I'm bringing to Him my whole life and presenting it before Him. The ultimate act of worship is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word service can be translated, it's your reasonable worship. We give ourselves to God, lay ourselves on the altar, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. When we understand the importance of worship, it affects every area of our life all during the week. It affects our home life. We don't want anything in our home that contradicts our worship of a holy God. We don't want anything in our conversation that contradicts our worship of a holy God. We don't want to be looking at anything, listening to something that contradicts our worship of a holy God. It affects our whole life when we understand that we're coming together to meet with God and to worship with Him. We assemble with Jesus not only to worship Him, but we assemble with Jesus to be blessed by Him. I read to you in Matthew chapter 18 where He said that He promised a blessing upon corporate prayer. If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be done of them, for them of my Father which is in heaven. God promises a blessing upon corporate prayer. You know, it's wonderful. We have to pray alone, individually, with Christ in our closet through the week. But when we come together in the house of God, we come together to pray together. This is not just extracurricular activity. This is essential for the fellowship of God's people, is that we come and pray together. So we pray, and God promises to hear and answer our prayers. You remember Jesus, when He was faced with this multitude, 5,000 men plus women and children, and Jesus questioned His disciples, what are we going to do about this multitude? They said, send them away. You know, it would take a whole year's worth of money to feed this congregation. And Jesus said, don't send them away. Give them something to eat. Praise God. He said, what do you got? Well, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's enough. Praise the Lord. And Jesus was concerned about them. He would not send them away hungry. Jesus fed them. He fed them so good that there was 12 baskets left over. I'm telling you, brother, Jesus is not stingy with His people. He fed them until they were full and 12 baskets left over. Jesus will feed your soul. Jesus will satisfy your soul. Jesus will give you the blessing you need this morning if you'll just open up your heart to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We assemble with Jesus to be blessed by Him. We assemble with Jesus to be identified with Him. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and deliberately absent yourself from his called assembly. Now, I understand, and I want you to understand this. I know that there are exceptions to the general rule. I know that there are situations where people cannot assemble with God's people. I understand that. But I'm not talking about the exceptions. I'm talking about the general rule, okay? You cannot be a follower of Jesus and deliberately absent yourself from the called assembly. This marks you in the world. This is part of your testimony to the world. When they see that car every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night on the way to the house of God, they know what you're doing. They're watching your life. And it marks you in the world, and it demonstrates to them a commitment to Christ, a commitment to the people of God. In the communist world, the persecuted church, in order to escape persecution, all they had to do was just practice a private religion. Why would they risk their lives to meet together? Why would they risk their families to assemble together? And yet, every week, in secret, two by two, making their way to the planned assembly, and sometimes it wasn't even planned. God led them to the assembly of God's people. And they would go in spite of the fact that it might cost them their life. They went in spite of the fact that if they were caught and put in prison as a man, their wives and children would be shut out of polite society. They would not be able to get a job, would not be able to get schooling, and they would risk not just their own lives, but the well-being of their families in order to meet together with the people of God. You understand this now? There is no such thing as a private religion. For these people to assemble, they would suffer physically, or they knew that to refuse to assemble would be to die spiritually. And they said, we'd rather die physically than to die spiritually. And so it's important enough for us to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. Preacher asked one time a little boy, a little Mexican boy in his church, he said, what would you have done if you had been in the crowd when Jesus fell under the load of the cross? And the little boy's 8 years old. He said, well, I would have helped him carry it. And the preacher said, well, the soldiers would have beaten you, beaten your back till the blood ran down to your heels. He said, I don't care. I'd have still helped him carry it. Well, the preacher thought, you know, the little boy was, you know, just a little boy talking. But 2 weeks later, the preacher's greeting the people at the door, and he patted little Pedro on the back, and he winced and said, don't do that. My back is sore. And the preachers want to know what's wrong. And the little boy raised his shirt, and there were ugly, bloody welts on his back. He said, my mother whipped me for coming to church. But he was back at church. He said, my mama whipped me for coming to church, but he's back at church. I'm telling you, brother, the assembly of God's people is that important. That important. Your attitude toward the assembly is going to be affected by three things. Number one, how close do you think we are to the return of Jesus? For the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the return of Jesus Christ. So your attendance at the assembly of God's people is going to be affected by how close you consider the coming of the Lord to be. You don't want to be found outside the assembly when Jesus comes if you have deliberately absented yourself from the assembly of God's people. And then, secondly, this will affect your attitude toward the assembly. How much do you value a meeting with the Lord? For the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. Praise God. He's here this morning, y'all. Walking these aisles, speaking to hearts, drawing souls, talking to us this morning while we sit here on these pews. Jesus is meeting with his people. But not only does it matter how much you value a meeting with the Lord, but it matters how much you value the saints of God. For I'm telling you, you don't love God any more than you love the people of God. And it was John who told us, he said, if you cannot love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? You know, it's so important for everybody in this place to every once in a while check your love gauge. See how much you love the Lord. How much you love the people of God. For the Bible tells us as we get closer to the end of this age, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. So our attitude toward the assembly is affected by how close we think we are to the return of Jesus, how much we value a meeting with the Lord, and how much we value the saints of God. Could everybody here say from your heart, along with David in Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In Psalm chapter 23 and verse 6, was read here this morning, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Boy, when you got that kind of attitude, it'd be hard for the devil to keep you out of the assembly of God's people. Brother Randy Webb told me years ago, somebody in his church, I think, was telling him about why they couldn't come to church. He said, I understand. I've had to miss church a few times myself. He said, I missed three times in about 40 years. First 8 years, he said, he went to the Richlands Tabernacle. They have service Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. He said, I missed one time in those 8 years, including revivals. And he's been pastoring at Keene Mountain for probably 20-something years, maybe 30-something years. He said, I missed one time Keene Mountain. I think he's probably missed maybe another time or two over COVID. But he said, I understand. I understand you got to miss. I've missed two, three times in about 40 years. Well, you know, when we examine our motive, when we examine our hearts, how important is it to us? Is it as important to us as it is unto God? COVID has affected the church across the board. It's opened up new avenues of getting the gospel out of the four walls of the church. People can listen by Mixler, Facebook, YouTube, Zoom. But there's a flip side to that. There's a problem when able-bodied people use these electronic means as an excuse to void the assembly of God's people. There is no substitute. Listen to me now. There is no substitute for the assembled saints of God. Not Mixler, not Facebook, not Zoom. There is no substitute for the assembly of God's people. Satan has used the imposed restraints on the church during this COVID crisis to cast a chill over the worship of God's people. It's affected us here in this church. And it's cooled the fervor of once devoted people to Christ and to his people. It does nobody any good. Listen to me now. It does nobody any good to listen to the preaching of the Word of God at home if it doesn't motivate us to obedience to the Word. If we're just listening but not obeying, it's not doing us any good. So to deliberately absent ourselves from the house of God is an act of disobedience unless there is a valid reason for it. And you understand that excuses are not going to work in the day of judgment. I mean, what would you say to Jesus when Jesus says, I came to meet with you on this day and on that day and on that day and down the list and you didn't show up? What will you say to him when Jesus says, I came, but you didn't come to meet with me? You understand? You understand how serious that is? That when you stand before Jesus and Jesus says, I came to meet with you and you would not come to meet with me. Praise God. I tell you what, brother, this assembly of God's people is not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a blessing. To come together to enjoy the presence of God, to experience the blessings of the Lord, to receive God's grace in our life. This assembly is meant to be a blessing to the people of God. And God intends for us to come with the right attitude. Come to meet with him. Come to worship him. Come to glorify him. Come to experience him in our own personal lives. Jesus means to bless his people. I'm telling you, brother, it's important for us that we, as brother, one brother down at the meeting said, re-enlist in God's army and get ready to worship God and serve him with all of our heart. Get shake off the COVID crisis, praise God. And let's give God what belongs to him and worship him and glorify him and give God the glory that he deserves in the house of God. It's important that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand together. Father, we love you this morning. We're thankful for the privilege that we have this very day to come together in the house of God, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Father, we understand that this COVID crisis has been a cooling off period for many people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to refire. Help us, God, to find our personal altars. Help us, God, to use these church altars. Help us, God, to seek the face of God with all of our heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd send revival to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to shake off this COVID crisis and give God glory and honor and worship him in spirit and in truth. I pray that you'd bless this church, Lord. We don't want to stagnate. We pray that you'd help us to make spiritual progress and go forward in the Lord and reach souls for Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd help us to grow up in the Lord, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be true worshipers. Don't let us just come to church, Lord, to show up. Help us, God, to come and give God glory. Help us to come with the purpose of meeting with you, Lord. And help us to come expecting to experience God in our life and giving to God the glory he deserves. Lord, I pray that this would be a two-way street. When we come into the house of God, our praises would go up and your blessings would come down. I pray that you'd help us, Lord Jesus, that we would say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I pray, God, that you'd make us a worshiping people, a people on fire for God. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to this group of people right here in the Martinsville Church of Truth, and you'd make us a strong witness for Jesus, Lord, and a worshiping witness for Jesus. And our worship would be a witness, Lord. Our service would be a witness for you. Our words would be a witness for you. And you'd help us to be a shining light in the world around us, God. I pray that people would see our light, glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Help us, God, to be the means of souls being saved. Help us to be the means, Lord, of the kingdom of God being spread. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray, to be on the altar before you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Lord, we appreciate you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We know that you've not held back on us, Lord, and you've given to us the blessings of the kingdom of God. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I praise you, God, that the table is spread this very morning, that we can draw up to the table of the Lord. We can receive from God the things that Jesus died to give us. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this assembly of people here in this Martinsville Church of Truth. And I pray, God, that your name would be honored through us. We'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Judy, if you would come to the piano. I want to sing just a little bit of that Psalm 103.